The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, and following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ." And we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. There was a novel that came out in 2014 called All the Light We Cannot See. The novel is set in World War II in the little French town of St. Malo. The movie, by the way, is also on Netflix, so I won't spoil how the movie ends. But it revolves around a young, blind, teenage French girl named Mary Laura. She lives in her great uncle's household after having to leave Paris after the Nazis captured the city. And the story has all the classic elements of a good story. It has a violent enemy, German officer who happens to be seeking a precious stone that he believes will cure his terminal illness. The other main character is a bright German boy named Warner, who went to military school because he was good with radios. And in the town of St. Malo, there was a shortwave radio. So this young German boy was sent to the town to try to find out who was broadcasting to the Allies. Now, let's see, the girl, Mary Laura, her father built a small miniature version of the town and would have the girl walk through the town, the model town, so that she can learn how to walk through the big town itself. It was built to scale. So she learned to do this. And every night, her great uncle had her read from the story 20,000 Leagues Underneath the Sea. Now, remember, of course, she's blind, so she had to do it by Braille. What she did not realize was in the room with her while she was reading to her uncle 20,000 Leagues Underneath the Sea was the shortwave radio, and she was the broadcasting voice of the Allies. The book 20,000 Leagues Underneath the Sea was giving code words to the Allies to know where to bomb, when and where to bomb the Germans. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is speaking these words to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus reminds me of Marie Laura. He hears the words of Jesus. He sees the miracles of Jesus. And he wonders if there's some sort of a code from God. Nicodemus had read the scriptures, but he was blind to the hidden message of God. Like the Germans, Nicodemus was searching for an answer. He knew the Pharisees were building a case against Jesus and would move when they felt it was the right time. But Nicodemus was asking the question, is he the Messiah? Now, Nicodemus was a good and righteous man. He was serious about keeping the laws of Moses. He was part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Judaism at the time. And what they did is, to make sure you could keep the Ten Commandments, they had 633 additional commandments they found in the Old Testament that would help you to keep the Ten Commandments. And he worked very hard to keep all 663 of the commandments. I got troubles just keeping 10, let alone 633. But the Pharisees, of which Nicodemus was also a member of, debated on how many steps you could take on the Sabbath. Or could you lift a pot of water onto a stove? And they decided that you could walk 2,000 steps on the Sabbath without it being considered work. But you were not allowed to move a pot of water onto a fire to cook any food. And Jesus comes along and says, you've even broken the man-made rules. The rules of God are one thing, but the man-made rules, they've broken that. Because the Pharisees said, if your cow falls into a pit on the Sabbath, it's lawful to get the bull or the cow out of the pit. That's not considered work. But yet you couldn't put a kettle of water over an open fire because that was considered work. Nicodemus believed that because he was a descendant of Abraham and that he was a righteous man, he was therefore saved and had earned God's favor. As I said, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which gave him the right to read the scriptures and interpret the scriptures too. But he could not see the light that was right in front of him when he saw Jesus. Prior to the story of Nicodemus, we have the miracle of the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine. The water was in purification vessels. Another Pharisee law that you had to wash your hands before you touched food or did a variety of different things. Jesus comes and uses that purification water to make wine. What he was basically saying is, your man-made rules mean nothing. God doesn't accept you because you keep these rules. They thought their goodness would get them into heaven. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he doesn't want anybody to see that he's going. And this is basically the conversation. He says, good teacher, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that's come from God. I've kept all the rules and all the forms and rituals of our faith. And Jesus turns to Nicodemus and says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how can a man be born a second time? Paraphrasing what Jesus responded to him, what Jesus was saying is, what I'm talking about is you cannot rely on your family history, your goodness, your Jewishness to open up the doors to heaven. I'm the replacement. In the future, heaven's doors are opened by the Spirit, giving faith in me as Savior. You must be born again. Not a term that Lutherans use all that often, but what does it mean? Well, for many Christian denominations, to be born again is when there is a particular time or an event where you realize that Jesus was the answer and is the Messiah. There's a particular moment. I always remember years ago, I interviewed for this church up in Northern Ontario, and an interview that went horrible because I got in an argument with the head elder in the interview because he said, when did you come to know Jesus as your Savior? And I said, at my baptism when I was a few days old. No. When did you accept Jesus into your heart? And I said, at my baptism. And we kept going back and forth. I kept answering, at my baptism. Finally, I said, what part of at my baptism don't you quite understand? And he goes, I don't understand any of it. So I got off the phone, looked at Susan and says, well, forget that one, not getting that call. They called me. Needless to say, I turned it down because that just was not a good situation when you're already, before you get there as pastor, already arguing with the head elder. But for Lutherans, when we say we're born again, it's when the Holy Spirit enables us to have faith. In the small catechism, in the meaning to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Either at your baptism or at some moment, the Holy Spirit enabled you to believe. God acts first in providing the Holy Spirit at baptism or later in life to accept, quote, accept Jesus, to accept the invitation to the light. Only one who is born again can say, I can now see. The Holy Spirit gives new assurance in the forgiveness and the eternal life. The conversation comes to a conclusion when Jesus states what's probably the most important three verses in the New Testament. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, when I, the Son of Man, is lifted up, anyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned. Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in a nutshell. It was a gospel in miniature. And of course, we know this verse well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Many people miss Jesus' mission or meaning to those verses. They get hung up on the whole born again movement. Many people have the same mindset as Nicodemus. Without any outside influence or assistance, and if they're good enough, then God will say, wow, you're a person that I have to have in heaven. You deserve my grace. Nicodemus thought heaven was his because of his birthright as being a descendant of Abraham. And he was keeping all 613 of the Jewish rules. And Jesus comes along and starts replacing that false theology with himself. Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. He loved Nicodemus and tried to give the Pharisee a gift, a message that would change not only Nicodemus's life, but the lives of all the Pharisees, and that being the gift of eternity. He knew the majority of them would not listen to him. Nicodemus was one that did. We read about Nicodemus again after Jesus is crucified. Nicodemus goes to Pilate and wants to take down the body and bury it. So Nicodemus finally, quote, came out of the closet and publicly announced that he believed in Christ. Jesus knew that the Pharisees would not all listen, but he still had to try. He offered the word that would nourish their souls. He would receive the sins of the entire world when he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and still he went there in obedience to his Father's plan of love. He knew his disciples would fall asleep when he asked them to stay awake for just a short period of time. He knew that Judas would betray him with a kiss, but yet Jesus referred to Judas as a friend, and I believe he meant it. Because Jesus loves you, he endured. He suffered, sacrificed, and he died for you. And because he loved you, he gave himself over to the whip, the thorns, the blows, the nails, and the cross. Because Jesus loves you, he gave himself as the ransom to give forgiveness and salvation to all who believe in him. And with his resurrection from the dead, we know that God's gift has been given. His love is revealed, and all who believe on the Christ as their suffering substitute and victorious Redeemer have eternal life. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts and continue the work of his church. And please rise. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. And let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, draw us into your light. Expose wherever we, like your people of old, have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son, lifted up on the cross, and be saved from your righteous wrath. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bless the work of missionaries as they carry this gospel to the ends of the earth, that many may hear of your love in Christ Jesus and to be saved through him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. Almighty God, you have set governments, our president, our Congress, our governor, as authorities over us for our own good. Bless and sustain them with all they need to govern us, that they might be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you had Moses lift up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, thereby foreshadowing your own son's lifting up on the cross. Teach us to hear in the Old Testament the promises and pictures of the coming Christ, who is our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
O God, you are our light and our salvation. Hide us in your shelter. This morning, we pray for Brandon Rice, Rick Huh, Bill Powers, Michelle Weber, Leon Baca, Bob Bailey, Mark Waldron, Steve Compton, the Ish family, Jeff Hawkins, Raymond Kinnan, Gerda Martin, Elizabeth Samples, Julie Ploss, Eleanor Connor, Joyce Thompson, Steve Klotfelter and family, and Debbie Houck, and the family of Kathy Hawkins and Jennifer Burton, and all who suffer in body and mind or soul. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Gracious Lord, you have made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Cause your Spirit to be at work in us, that we may not carry out the sinful desires of our bodies and minds, but be your workmanship in Christ Jesus, walking in the good works he has prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we continue with the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen. And please be seated. We continue with hymn 919.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us for worship this morning. A couple of announcements. The remaining wedding services are in the bulletin insert. We also have church council meeting after we get our goodies and snacks and drinks. So get your stuff. We'll get the meeting going so we can get out of here and make up that hour of sleep. Any other announcements that need to be made? Yes, Amy. Put in apples, you feed them apples, and they give you bacon.